All right, let me talk about the microscope a little bit before letting you loose to look through them. These are light microscopes, not electron microscopes. They also, more specifically, are slide microscopes, because a different type of light microscope that's not a slide microscope shown here. This is a dissecting scope, which you can look at bigger things with. So it's like a very nice magnifying glass, really. But slide microscopes, you look at slides with, and on the slide you have the specimen, whatever you're looking at. So we're looking at slides today. Even more specifically, these are examples of compound microscopes. Now, what makes them a compound microscope?
Different lenses.
That's part of it, but that doesn't go far enough. A compound microscope does have different lenses, but for instance, it's not a compound scope because it has two lenses that you look through.
Is it the resolution?
It's the fact that it has two different kinds of lenses that light goes through sequentially. Light goes through one type first and gets magnified, and then it goes through another one that magnifies what's already magnified. So a compound scope has two magnifying lenses that light goes through one after another. And those two types of lenses have their own name. Anyone know those? What are the silver ones that are down here that you can swivel? These are called objective lenses. And they're called objective lenses because they are the ones that are closest to the object that you're looking at, which is on the slide, which you put right here. And the objective lenses, a scope doesn't have to have multiple objective lenses, but this one happens to have four. You're only going to use three of these, the red, the yellow, and the blue. So the one that has the black and white, it's called the oil immersion lens. Don't use that at all. You won't get any results with that. By the way, the piece that houses all of these objective lenses is called the nose piece. That's what you swivel in order to choose an objective. The other type of lens, though, in a compound scope is an ocular lens. And the word ocular just means of the eye. So those are the lenses that you actually put your eyes up to and look through. This one, you don't have to have two ocular lenses either. You can have a monocular scope, one ocular, or in this case a binocular scope, two ones for your eye. So light in the lamp in the base of this thing is turned on by a switch on the side. Go ahead and plug them in and turn on the lights. But notice that it's not just a power an on-off switch for the lamp, it also has a dimmer right next to the switch, which is how you can adjust light intensity. And a common mistake for a beginning microscopist is to think that more light is better always. That's not true. Actually, less light gives you a better view most of the time. You only want to use as much light as is necessary to give you a good view. So play around with that. Too much light washes it out. You won't see much detail at all. Okay, so light shines from that lamp up through a piece that's below the platform and that has a slide control on it, which is another way of adjusting light intensity. But that thing that light goes through there is called the condenser. And the condenser basically concentrates the light to where you're interested in having it pass, which is through the hole, through the slide, and then into the lenses. But on that condenser is an iris, just like the iris of your eye can change diameters. And that's what the slide control is on the front. So changing that iris obviously was going to change the amount of light that passes through, but that's not the primary reason you adjust that. If all you're interested in is changing the light intensity, use the dimmer. Changing the iris allows you to adjust the contrast of the image, so things stand out against the background better at certain iris settings compared to others. All right, now the platform that you put the slide on is called the stage. And on this model of scope, on top of the stage is something that's called the mechanical stage, which includes a clip for your slide. And so don't when you load a slide onto the stage, you shouldn't care about where it is positioned. Simply put it in the clip exactly the same way each time. And that's because the mechanical stage is controlled by two knobs that hang down from the side on the right that move that clip around and therefore move the slide. That's how you position your slide. Not by trying to center it over the hole and it put the slide in the clip and then control the position of the slide by using the mechanical stage. So now we have light shining up through the condenser, through the hole in the stage, through the slide itself, and now it enters whichever objective you've chosen. Well, whenever you put a new slide on, you should first of all have the stage down as far as possible. And what you use to control the vertical height of the stage are the pair of knobs on either side of the neck of this thing. So there's a large knob and a smaller knob, either on the right or the left. Those are focus knobs. But to focus the instrument, what you're really adjusting is how high the slide is compared to the lens the light's going to go through. Okay? There's a couple reasons why you want to start with the stage all the way down. One is simply because it gives you more room to put the slide onto the stage. Another is that it makes it impossible for you to knock the slide into an expensive objective lens. But really the most important reason why you want that slide all the stage all the way down is because if this is the stage and this is the lens, there's only one position at which the slide is going to be in focus, right? And if you have a stage that's at some random position, you put a slide on, chances are it's going to be out of focus, right? But you don't know whether it's out of focus because it's too high above the focus point or too low. So if you start it with it all the way down, you know that it's out of focus because it's too low, and therefore if you just keep bringing it up, eventually something should pop into focus. If you start with it too high and you keep bringing it up, it's never going to go into focus. You're making it even worse. So that's why. But you should not only start with the stage all the way down, you should always start with the shortest, in this case the red-ringed, objective lens. And that's the lowest magnification. The lowest magnification objective lens is called the scanning lens. Because since it's the lowest magnification, it has the widest field of view. The field of view is simply a circle that you see. And you see a circle no matter what objective lens you're using and no matter what magnification level. And the circle looks the same size to you, but the actual diameter of that circle is different because, you know, if you look at it on low magnification, you might see cells like this. That's a wide angle view, basically. So it's kind of like being zoomed out. And therefore, you can see a lot of the slide and scan it for an interesting place that you might want to look at it with a closer view. If you change to a larger magnification by going to the next objective, your field of view is really going to be just part of the previous field of view. So everything's going to look bigger in it. The circle looks the same size to you, but everything in the circle looks bigger. Okay? So as magnification increases, the diameter of the field of view decreases. Well, you want to start with that scanning lens, not only because it gives you the biggest view, but also because it's the easiest to focus. All right, now, I'm going to talk about how we properly focus these in a second, but assuming you've already focused it, a nice thing about these kinds of microscopes is that they are parfocal scopes. A parfocal scope is one in which they're designed so that changing the objective, going from low power to high power or even higher power, that does not drastically change the focus. So if you've carefully focused it at the scanning lens and you go up to the next higher objective, it should still at least roughly be in focus, which means You only ever need to use that coarse focus, which is the larger focus knob, for your low power objective. Okay? You get it as much in focus as you can with the coarse focus, which moves the stage quite a bit. And then you use the fine focus to bring it into as perfect focus as possible for your eyes. And then you leave that coarse focus alone, because a par focal scope, when you go to the next highest objective, you won't need to hit that coarse focus. And you shouldn't, because higher magnification objectives are longer, and therefore you risk running your slide up into the objective and ruining not only the slide, but the much more expensive lens. Okay, now, there's several things that people do wrong when they first look through a scope. It's not easy to look through a microscope. It's not as easy as it sounds. And no one in here is going to get good at it today. It takes a long time to actually get good and see the kind of stuff that you see in textbooks. But there's some common mistakes that I want you to avoid. One I've already said is too much light is bad. But even though we've only given you one per pair, you really should personalize a microscope. There's two different things that you need to set on the oculars. One thing that most people do wrong is not realize that you can adjust the distance between the oculars. And that's to make up for differences from human to human in what is called the interpupillary distance, the distance between your two pupils, which is different for different people. Okay, so set that to your eyes. Don't just say, well, I can't see it using two eyes, I'm just going to use one eye, which is what most people do. But also notice that the left one of these oculars twists. And when it twists, notice it's going farther from or closer to the point of attachment. That is a way to focus just that ocular. All right? But that's a different focus from the major focus knobs. And the reason that you have it on just one ocular is so that you can make up for any differences in your own two eyes' ability to focus. They might not focus exactly the same way. Okay? So the proper way to focus a scope is to start with a stage all the way down, keep it on the scanning lens to begin with, load your slide, center it roughly using the mechanical stage, close your left eye, and look through just the right ocular, and bring it up with the coarse focus until you see something pop into view. Then focus it as well as you can with the fine focus, just using your right eye and the right ocular. Once you're done with that, leave your hands off the focus knobs. Close your right eye and look with just your left eye through the left ocular only. And if it's still in focus, then you're all set. But if it's not, then just twist that left ocular until it is. Now it's in focus for both eyes, and assuming you've already set the interpupillary distance for the distance between your eyes, you've made it as personalized as possible for this kind of scope. Okay? Then you look at stuff, and you can move the slide around, not by touching the slide, but by using the controls for the mechanical stage. And if you want to get a closer view, then you twist the nose piece to go up to the next higher objective. And like I said, it should almost be in focus. All you'll have to do is tweak the fine focus, maybe. So you have three different magnifications to work with. Do not use that highest one, because it won't give you a good view without oil, and we're not going to use oil. There's five different kinds of slides to look at up here. So each, put them back where you get them. Don't just put them anywhere, because each tray is its own type of slide. All right, pay attention where you're putting them. But look at each five types. And the one that is three strings, this is good to show you the fact that on a scope, let's say this is the objective lens, and this is the top of the slide. I mean, that's the slide itself. So you have the specimen, whatever it is, looking or sitting on the slide. Each lens has its own depth of focus or depth of field, which is the range in which the range of distances at which things will look in focus to your eyes. Technically, there's only one point that's within that range that's truly in focus. But because of how our eyes work, it could be a little in front of that or a little bit behind that and still look in focus to us. Okay? Just like in a photograph. If I take a photograph of a person, if it's a portrait, chances are I want just that person to be in focus. So I will stop the camera down, open it up, use a wide aperture, and focus on the person, and that will cause the background to be blurry. Right? It's a shallow depth of focus. But if I'm taking a picture of something in which I want everything to be in focus, then I use a stop down the aperture and make a very deep depth of focus or depth of field. Well, the same thing applies to the lenses on a microscope, only the depth of field or the depth of focus is a tiny fraction of an inch or of a centimeter. In fact, well, at the low power, the depth of focus is thicker than I'm exaggerating it here. It's thicker than the specimen itself. So when you look at the three threads, and there's three different threads, each a different color, but they're at different levels, you'll see all three of them in focus at once. But when you go to high level, high magnification, you not only decrease the field of view, but you also decrease the depth of focus. And at high magnification, the depth of field is so shallow that only one of those three strings will be in focus at one time. And to look at the other colors, you'll have to change the focus. So in other words, at high magnification, you can look through different depths of a cell, for instance, or whatever your specimen is, by changing the focus. And you'll see that happen. So that three of these things are just types of cells to look at. The strings one I just explained, and then there's one that's a letter E. And I want you to try to figure out why we're using a letter E. What's the purpose of looking at this letter E? Go ahead and have fun.